We are in the midst of a study on the parables of Jesus and looking at various parables that Jesus told to see, you know, what are some of the things that we can learn from these parables that will help us as we strive to be a church of excellence, to help us to be more excellent for the Lord. And, you know, last week we talked about being dirt. Y'all remember that? You know, we looked at what is referred to as the parable of the sower, but, you know, it's really the parable of the dirt. And we talked about, and I told you then, wanted to make sure that you understood that we're just dirt, okay? And I want you to tell you this morning as we look at this next parable, we're still dirt, okay? It hasn't changed any, all right? We're still dirt. But not only are we dirt, but this morning we're going to be talking a little bit about being seed. Okay? As we look at this parable of the weeds, what I'm looking at and referring to as weeds among the wheat. Now, we read this parable at the beginning, and as Chuck read that for us, I want you to go down to verse 37 of Matthew 13, because before we begin our lesson, we need to look at what Jesus said about this parable as He explained it to His disciples, okay? And the very first part of this section here is Jesus is telling His disciples, this is what this parable is really all about. He says, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels." And so basically, in this explanation, Jesus goes through and He identifies everybody's part in this, doesn't He? Makes it very clear as to, you know, which part is who. And so forth. He goes on then to explain what's going to happen. How does this whole thing play out? Okay? "As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil." I want to read that last statement again. "They will weed out of His kingdom." Okay? Let me read that again. "They will weed out of His kingdom." Do I need to read that again? Or are we getting the point? Okay? "Everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Let's talk about this particular parable, the parable of weeds among the wheat. We need to understand, first of all, what I refer to as the night stalker. Okay? That's the enemy that Jesus is talking about in this parable. And what we need to understand about the enemy is that the enemy likes to work in the cover of darkness. That is the domain of the enemy. That is Satan. He works under the cover of darkness. Keep your finger right here for a moment and go over to John chapter 3 and look at what Jesus has to say beginning in verse 19. He says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." So you see, Jesus is explaining and wanting us to understand the nature of our enemy and the realm that he works in And that is in the darkness. And that's why in this parable, Jesus says, this sower, he went out and he sowed his seed in the field, and then his enemy came, he says, at night, and sowed these weeds where the sower had already sowed. Now, here's an important part that we need to understand of what Jesus is saying here. The enemy, not only does he sow at night, but timing is very important here. Because he says that he sows when the field has already been made ready for planting. Do you get that? You see, the field has been plowed and it's been made ready for the good seed to be planted. And the farmer comes and he plants his seed in this field that he's already made ready to be planted. And then the enemy comes when the field is ripe for planting, and he plants his seed. You see? Where the good seed has already been planted, the weeds are sown. Not only is the soil prepared, but the good seed has already been put there, and then the weeds are put right in there with it. He sows, our enemy, the devil, sows lies where God has sown the truth. Now, I'm hoping as you're listening to this, I'm hoping that this picture of what Jesus is really saying here is going to develop more and more fully. It may be kind of like one of those... A lot of y'all probably remember, you know, the Polaroid cameras, right? You know, and you take the picture and then you have to stand there and it pops out and then you stand there and look at it and it starts developing just kind of... Well, that's kind of how this parable goes here. And so this picture is going to be developing as we're going along here. We need to understand that as Jesus is describing what's taking place here, and where the enemy is sowing his bad seed, it is amongst the good seed. So therefore, Satan is sowing the bad seed in the churches. Okay? You following me? He's sowing the bad seed where the good seed has been sown. That's among his people. Okay? We're not talking about the folks out there. Okay? That's not the subject of this parable this morning. It wasn't the subject of Jesus' parable when he first told it. We're not talking about the folks out there. We're talking about the folks in here. Okay? The picture starting to develop a little bit more for you? All right. You see, when we begin to understand that our enemy, the devil, sows his seed amongst the good seed, which Jesus has already identified in his explanation as what or who? It's the sons of the kingdom. That's... Y'all don't sound very convinced. Okay? That's... us. Okay? So we need to understand that what Jesus is saying is that we are the sons of the kingdom, and Satan is sowing his bad seed, that is the lies that he tells, the false teachings, he's sowing it, you say, amongst God's people. That's why, at least one reason why we have so many different Christian denominations in the world. Because the lies are being told, the seed is being sown amongst the sons of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, you with me so far? Okay, now let's talk about the weeds and the wheat. Because we need to get a clear picture of what is actually taking place here, okay? Now, Probably many of you are familiar with different kinds of plants and animals that are what they call lookalikes or copycats, right? In other words, there are some plants that resemble other plants that are poisonous. For instance, there is the poison ivy, okay? Everybody know what poison ivy is, right? Okay, you don't want to get in the poison ivy. That would be a bad thing. It would tend to mess up the rest of your day, okay? But there's another plant, it's called a hop tree, that looks very much like poison ivy, and it's completely harmless. You say. And in nature, it's kind of that way. There's also, many of y'all familiar with a coral snake? Okay? Coral snake is that one that has these different color bands on it, and there's red, and there's yellow, and there's black. Okay, and a coral snake is extremely poisonous. In fact, it's one of the most deadly snakes in the world. Okay, and depending on where the bands are on its body is how you identify it, you see? Because there's a scarlet king snake that looks almost the same, but the bands are in a different order. How do you know the difference? Well, a little thing that I was told one time back in my Boy Scout years, Charles. Okay? When it comes to the difference between the coral snake, which is poisonous, highly venomous, and the scarlet king snake, which is not, it's red to yellow, killer fellow. Red to black, venom lack. So if the red band is next to the yellow band, then, you know, you need to stay away from it. But if the red band is next to the black band, then it's basically a harmless snake. But my point is that there are a lot of things in nature, plants and animals, that look a lot like other ones. And that's the case of this particular parable. As Jesus uses the word for weeds here, if the word is tares. And in the Greek language, it's xenaion. And that word refers to a particular kind of weeds, okay, or what is called darnel grass that is very common to Palestine. Now, the reason that Jesus describes it this way, remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the fact that Jesus, in telling these parables, He uses words and imagery that the people would very readily associate with and understand. The folks, especially the farmers in Palestine, knew what darnel grass was. And the reason they knew that is because it was so common. And the problem with it is that it very, very closely resembled wheat. It was very difficult. It is. It's still there from what I understand. It's very difficult to tell the difference between the wheat and this darnel grass. But one thing you have to understand is that darnel grass is poisonous to human beings. Okay? It can cause nausea and fainting and sometimes even death. So it's not by accident that Jesus uses this particular kind of weed as He's telling this parable. Because what He wants us to understand is that there are folks who are within the kingdom, those who are within the kings of the Son of God, you see, the kingdom of God, who look like Christians but are not. And they are very harmful. See, that's why He uses that particular word. Tares in most of your Bibles. Weeds in some of the other translations. Jesus wants us to understand and know the nature of what the devil does. He doesn't just go around and stir up problems. He sows false teaching But he does it in such a way that there are many people who are seeking after God who believe those false teachings and hold on to them and live their lives by them. They look like real Christians, but they're not the real thing. And they're dangerous. They're dangerous to others. They're dangerous to the church. You see? You say, well, okay, but if that's the case, and you know, can't we just get them out of the church? Well, the Scriptures are very plain about what we are to do with those brethren who are obviously doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And the Bible tells us what we're to do. And you know, if your brother sins, you go and show him his fault. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. If he doesn't, you tell somebody, take somebody with you. And you go through all this. And if he doesn't listen to them, then you tell it to the church. If he doesn't listen to the church, he says, you treat him like you would a pagan or a tax collector. We commonly refer to that as disfellowshipping someone. Someone who is a brother or sister in Christ who is living things that they know they shouldn't be doing. It's obvious sin and it's bringing destruction on the church. Then God makes it clear, we know what's going on. We need, if that person will not repent, we need to cast them away from the brethren. But what about the people that we're not really sure of? You see, again, they look good, but then there's these things that are going on that shouldn't be going on, or there's things that should be going on that aren't going on, but yet, you know, they're involved, and it's just like these tares in the wheat. It's hard to tell the difference. And the other thing is that Jesus says here, when his servants come and say, hey, wait a minute, didn't you sow good seed? Well, now we got these weeds out there. What do you want us to do with them? Do you want us to go and pull them up? That is, the weeds. And he says, no. Don't pull them up. Why? Because if you try to pull up these weeds, these tares, the roots are so entangled with the wheat, you're going to end up pulling some of the good wheat out along with the weeds. And because it's so difficult to tell the difference sometimes with these things, you may be thinking you're pulling weeds, but you're actually pulling the wheat. And so that job is best left up to the harvesters, who will know, and they'll be able to distinguish. At the harvest time, it's much easier, as I understand, with those tares, that darnel grass, it's much easier as it grows to its maturity to be able to tell that it's darnel grass rather than real wheat. So that's one reason why they wait until the harvest time. It's easier to separate the two. And that's what Jesus says concerning the harvest of the world. Wait till the harvest to separate the wheat from the tares. And Jesus, as we saw it as we began here, the harvest is the end of the age and the harvesters are the angels. Okay? And as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Son of Man will send out His angels and they will weed out of His kingdom. Okay? Out of His kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. That's what will happen in the final judgment. Okay? I don't know about you, but you know, as I look at this parable and you begin to really, the picture develops more and more fully. This is a scary picture here, isn't it? That is, if you happen to be darnel grass. If you're wheat, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you're darnel grass, in other words, one who's, you know, just kind of been listening to the lies of the enemy and just kind of living your life how you want to live it, instead of really truly trying to live it for the Lord, then it is a scary picture. What harm would come to the real Christian if we tried to do all this harvesting and separate the wheat and the tares before the harvest time? Well, there's a potential for a lot of that. See, that sometimes, you know, I've seen situations and circumstances in churches where, you know, somebody was doing something that they shouldn't have done and been involved in, and when things were tried to deal with that situation, people in the church started taking sides. And it ends up tearing the church apart. That's part of this whole thing, that why the Lord's saying, now just leave it until the harvest. Okay. He'll take care of that. The angels are going to separate the true wheat from the tares. Here's what I want you to think about. We're going to stand this in a second and sing a invitation song, and as we always do, the Lord's invitation is open, and we want to encourage, first of all, those who are not Christians yet. You need to understand, if you're not a Christian, you're lost in your sins, and the only thing that can save you is the blood of Christ. And so if that's your situation, that you haven't given your life to Christ but you want to make Him Lord of your life, you can do that right now. Call upon Jesus as Lord and acknowledge Him as such, and repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and you can have those sins washed away right now, this morning, in the waters of baptism. The other part of offering an invitation is the opportunity that we have for all of us, those who are already Christians, to realize that, wait a minute, there's some things that are going on in my life that I need to get out. Or there's some things that ought to be in there that's not in there, and I need to get it in, but I need some help to do that. And that's part of why we do what we do, so that we can encourage and uplift one another, so that we can be what God wants us to be. Well, here's the question that I want you to be thinking about while we're singing our invitation song. This story is all about the harvest, isn't it? Well, the question is, where will you be after the harvest? Where will you be after the harvest? That depends on whether you're wheat or whether you're darnel grass. Where will you be after the harvest? If you're looking at yourself and going, ooh, I'm not really sure, or maybe I think because of the way I've been living that I might be that darnel grass, don't walk out of here this morning in that condition. Dale, will you be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with Dale back there? I'll be up in the front to receive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, it's a great opportunity to do that. Let's stand together and sing.